You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Unbelievably, the Tigers did it. LSU, as a 23-point underdog, goes on the road and upsets sixth-ranked Florida 37-34. I want to go through the game, some of the other stuff this weekend, but first and foremost, I just want to put some context around this game and wrap it up in a box with a big bow on top. Let us understand what Saturday was. And what I really, really, really hope is that every LSU fan can understand in context that we need to look at this game in a vacuum. You have got to look at this game as a single day entity. I've had a lot of people since Saturday ask me, Matt, does this change anything for Bo Pelini and the staff, etc.? You're asking the wrong question, because the answer to that is no. And if you start answering those questions and long-term and this and that, all it's going to do is detract from the majesty of Saturday. Because the reality is, you gave up 34 points and 600 yards. If that's enough to save a defensive coordinator's job, then your standards are non-existent. So you don't need to think about that. A lot of people have said, Matt, Max Johnson, he's the future. Max had a really nice game on Saturday. Mostly, he protected the football, and when LSU needed and had opportunities to make plays, they were able to make them. But let's not forget, TJ Finley had a dynamic debut against South Carolina. He led a game-winning two-minute drive against Arkansas on the road. I get it. This was Florida and the swamp and the fog and all that stuff, but the point is, it's one game. So that, when, as I go back to it, y'all, what I'm begging you, every LSU fan, is please don't think about what this means for next year or what this means in hindsight. Understand this about Saturday. LSU has had a miserable season. They went to Gainesville with what I'm told was 54 players. Your best linebacker, Micah Baskerville, they thought might have had COVID. They pulled him off the bus on Friday. They pump him with fluids. He tests negative. They thought he was going to fly Saturday. Medical nixed it. So you're without Baskerville. Your best player on your team, Derek Stingley, has a thigh contusion, goes through pregame warmups, decides he can't go, so he's out. You look at who else wasn't there for LSU. Torrey Carter unavailable. Eric Gilbert obviously opted out this week. We already saw Terrace Marshall opt out. You got a true freshman quarterback making his first start ever on the road in Gainesville. Your number one wide receiver is a true freshman. During the game, your top two running backs, Ty Davis-Price and John Emery, both get injured as well. So by the time that game ended, and let's not forget Cordell Flott on the second defensive possession gets pegged with targeting, he's out. By my count, LSU is in the neighborhood of 49 players available after injuries on Saturday. And let's not forget they lost Elias Ricks for a bit in the first half, although he did return. You went on the road to Gainesville as a 23-point underdog with below 50 players available by the time that game ended. You were starting a true freshman in his first ever game. You were playing the sixth-ranked team in the country who happens to be one of your biggest rivals, who is going to play this weekend in the SEC championship game and was very much playing for a potential spot in the college football playoff, and you screwed them. You absolutely ruined, as a 23-point underdog, ruined, soiled Florida's national championship hopes. And for that, you should be ecstatic in this moment. We can talk about a lot of other things. We can talk about how I really think that win is very important in context of National Signing Day. The early signing period is Wednesday. Now Ed Orgeron and his staff can go into this signing period and tell guys, hey, look, We are pointed in the right direction. We do have buy-in. Our system does work. What we need is players. Whether you believe it or not, the reality is now he has something tangible he can sell in recruiting in this early signing period. Tristan Lee, the five-star offensive lineman from the D.C. area, was at Florida on an unofficial on Saturday to witness that. It was amazing to watch that unfold, and for so many reasons, just accept the fact that, listen, there's still a lot of staff changes that are coming. There are still a lot of things wrong within this program, and I don't think that this means unequivocally that Max Johnson is the guy or whatever. The bottom line is what I would hope that every LSU fan could accept is that in a miserable season, for one day at least, you had everything go your way and pulled off one of the biggest upsets in program history. Savor it. And speaking of savoring, certainly you can savor every Tiger win with an ice cold Coors Light. That Rocky Mountain refreshment, they are a great sponsor here across the Locked On Podcast Network. Cold filtered, cold lagered, cold packaged. It is literally the beer that is made to chill. So when you're kicking up your feet, unwinding after the biggest upset many of us have ever seen, or if you're just sitting around the table having dinner or grabbing a cold one after work, make sure it's ice cold Coors Light. When you need to hit the reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. And you can get the new look Coors Light delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Get.coorslight.com. Remember, Coors Light, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Tomorrow, on Tuesday's episode of the Locked On LSU podcast, we will hear from Ed Ogeron as he previews LSU's finale against Ole Miss this Saturday in Tiger Stadium. So I try to give some context on the win. What I'd like to do is kind of go through the game itself. And Saturday was one of those things where if you're going to pull that kind of an upset, if you're going to go on the road as a 23-point underdog and win, you need a lot of things to go your way. And for LSU Saturday, a lot of things went their way. If we look at the game flow, I think a couple of things that happened in the first quarter were monumental. Namely, the fact that on the opening possession of the ball game, Florida goes right down the field. First play of the game, think about this. First play of the game, Elias Ricks gets a pass breakup. Second play of the game, 44 yards for the Gators, and they're in business. And at that point, a lot of us are thinking, here we go again. Well, Florida puts together an 11-play drive. They have a goal-to-go situation. And on fourth and goal from the one, Malik Davis gets stuffed. And all of a sudden, LSU has life. Now, the Tigers went three and out and punted to Florida. But Florida had a chance right there from jump to get on the board and to have this collective feeling around LSU to be, oh no, here we go again. Same thing as what we just saw last week with Alabama, where this awful defense couldn't stop anybody. But the Tigers get a stop. They go three and out, punt, and Florida puts together a touchdown drive, five plays, 52 yards, and they're up 7-0. But this was the moment. This was the moment. LSU responded. 11 plays, 75 yards, and Jeray Jenkins catches the 5-yard touchdown pass from Max Johnson, and LSU has tied the game. They only had, on that 11-play drive, by the way, only one third down. It was a third and five, and Max Johnson completed the pass to Coy Moore for 10 yards down to the Florida 17. That was the answer. If you want the analogy, it's like in Rocky IV when Rocky cuts the Russian. Everyone's like, oh, he's bleeding. He is amazing. Like, and then you hear like the dum, 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 dum. Here comes the montage music, and now you get the fight. That's what that was. It was an answer to suggest LSU ain't going out like this. Not tonight. Florida better strap it up because they are in for a fight. And LSU got everything that it needed in that ballgame. It got everything it needed to go its way. If you're going to pull that kind of an upset, Elias Ricks baits Kyle Trask into a throw, and he picks it and returns it for a touchdown. What if he had just knocked it into the ground? Every time LSU had an opportunity to make a play, they did. So LSU's up 14-7. Florida would respond with a field goal. It's 14-10. Then the Gators score again. It's 17-14. And after Florida made it 17-14, LSU answered again. 9 plays, 75 yards. Kayshon Boutte's 34-yard touchdown reception from Max Johnson. The Tigers are back on top. Every time Florida punched, LSU punched back. And then you had crazy things happen, right? Boutte gets the touchdown to go up 21-17, right there with 33 seconds before the half. And Kyle Trask fumbles. Trask fumbles with just 23 seconds to go in the half. LSU recovers it. They get a field goal, and you're up 7 at half. Look at the margin. You won by 3. Trask gave you that fumble and gave you 3 points right before the half. You had a double doink interception as Florida was entering the red zone. I'll point out also, look, LSU's final touchdown drive of the game, they looked like they were going to be 3 and out, but there was a pass interference penalty, opened the door. LSU capitalized. They score a touchdown to go up 34-31. Listen, the shoe toss. I mean, Florida is going to get the ball back with a chance to go win the game. And this idiot throws a shoe and gives LSU 15 yards, new life. And the Tigers have an opportunity for a 57-yard field goal, and York nails it. The point is, every time that Florida made a mistake, which opened the door, LSU capitalized every single time. And that's what you have to do if you're going to win a game like that. Couple of other observations. Thought Dwight McLaughlin played exceptionally well. When Cordell Flott went out due to targeting, to see McLaughlin go out there and have his opportunity and his moment to play as well as he did was fantastic. I also thought Jabril Cox and Damone Clark, as maligned as they've been, as disappointing as their seasons have been, this game suited them in this ball game, where you aren't asking them to put their nose in the line of scrimmage and make tackles and meet running backs in the hole. You are asking them to cover downfield and run sideline to sideline and be athletic, and that's what you saw over and over from those guys on Saturday, and I thought they both played exceptionally well. I think Dan Mullen will kick himself. I think this is a game where if Florida had lined up behind Damian Pierce and decided they wanted to run the ball 50 times, they probably could have done it, controlled the game, and won and worn down a thin LSU team. Instead, Mullen was out there trying to win Kyle Trask the Heisman, and they kept throwing the football. It lengthened the game, and it allowed LSU the opportunity to stay in it. I also believe, and you may never get this on the record, but I believe that if this were the SEC championship game, Kyle Pitts would have played. And for me, I think the difference in this game is that in the first quarter, Florida had 2 goal-to-go possessions. 2. They netted 3 points on those two possessions. If you have Kyle Pitts in this ball game, I cannot definitively say Florida wins, but if you have Kyle Pitts in this ball game, I can definitively say Florida's going to target Kyle Pitts in those red zone and goal-to-go possessions. And more often than not for Kyle Pitts, that's gone his way. So I think this was a game where Florida looked and said, 23-point favorites. We got this even without Kyle Pitts. Let's rest him for next week to make sure he's good to go. And I think it cost him. Florida made mistake after mistake after mistake. And every time they opened the door, every decision they made, every boneheaded play, LSU was able to capitalize. And that is the recipe for pulling an upset like that. So, congrats to LSU on a massive win Saturday over the 6th-ranked Florida Gators and a very special feel-good amid a season that has had very few of them. Something that always feels good, grabbing a Built Bar. Best-tasting protein bar in the world. Y'all, I'm telling you, white chocolate sea salt caramel. Oh, my goodness. Just try it. Go to BuiltBar.com. Had it for the first time over the weekend. It is my new favorite. It might well be yours. Built Bar has amazing, great-tasting protein bars that are low-calorie, low-sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. They're great for keto. 18 different flavors. I'm telling you, if you're someone who eats protein bars, and I am, I have my whole life, eat protein bars as meal replacements, as supplements post-workout, as like a late morning or early afternoon snack. I eat protein bars, and I'm telling you, a lot try to present themselves as great tasting. This is the best tasting protein bar you will ever eat. It's Built Bar, builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. NBA fans, listen up. Locked On NBA Podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I'll be tuning in to a preview of Locked On Pelicans. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. So this Wednesday is the early signing period for college football. And as we alluded to earlier, huge boost for Ed Orgeron and LSU getting the win at Florida right in advance of the early signing period. Mason Smith, the big five-star defensive lineman out of Terrebonne, he was set originally to announce around the All-American game after New Year's. Now he says he will sign on Wednesday, so that could be massive for Ed Orgeron and LSU if they're able to nail and land the number one defensive player in the country. Also, LSU's commitment list got smaller. On Saturday evening, actually at halftime of the LSU-Florida game, LSU cornerback commit Nathaniel Wiggins flipped from LSU to Clemson. So he's an early enrollee. He was scheduled to sign with LSU on Wednesday before enrolling in January. Now Wiggins is headed to Clemson. I want to be clear. Wiggins is a top 100 prospect in the country. He was the only cornerback that LSU had committed in this class. But I think when you look around and you look at LSU with Derek Stingley Jr. back next year and the way Dwight McLaughlin played, obviously Elias Ricks having a freshman All-America caliber season, you've got Jay Ward and Re'Darius Jones, you have cornerbacks on this roster. Certainly you could add a few more, but you've got cornerbacks on this roster. What you need right now if you're LSU is linemen, 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 linemen. You are paper thin on the defensive line, and you have numbers on the offensive line, but you don't trust any of that depth to play. You have got to finish with Tristan Lee. You have got to go get more offensive linemen. If it's the best offensive lineman in the country as far as high school signees, if you go JUCO or grad transfer, it doesn't matter. You have got to go load up on linemen. We've already seen LSU two prior players decommit, which were sort of mutually agreed upon, or LSU asking them not to be a part of the class because they realized that they don't need defensive ends or linebackers. They don't need, you know, five or six wide receivers in this class. What they need in this class is linemen. And that's where LSU is going to look to finish and finish strong on Wednesday and then into the regular signing period in February. You better believe we'll be here to recap all of it and chat about it here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Our Monday show is brought to you by Built Bar. Thanks for being here. Be sure to join us on tomorrow's episode. Ed Orgeron previews the Ole Miss game coming up this weekend. Tiger basketball team on the floor Monday morning. So we'll recap that game as well. Until then, Locked On LSU, your team every day.